we welcome our first guest for this evening. He is the team spokesperson for the Pompen River Bridge team, Mr. Marcus Richards. Mr. Richards, thank you so much for joining us this evening and good evening.
Good evening to you, sir, and to your listeners.
It's an absolute pleasure chatting to you this evening. I just want to, highlight to people tuning in this evening, opening lines of a Facebook post that was put up by the Shellcross Crime Forum. And the first line is, what's so beautiful about what we're going to be talking about this evening, where it says that when a group of people with the same vision get together, they can achieve anything. And the post went on to say that we are happy to announce that the Pompen River Bridge is now open. And it goes on to thank dedicated community members who made this possible, ending by saying that when a community works together, they can achieve anything. Let's take a few steps back, Mr. Richards, if you could, and give us an idea of the scale of the devastation that an area like Shellcross had undergone as a result of the recent flooding.
Yes, I think after the floods, we soon came to realize that a day later or 2 days later, that there was no visit from any disaster management team, anybody from the municipality, or Etekwini municipality, or any government official that had come to assess the damage and to see what had gone on. So in the interim after the flood, which basically was one of the worst we've seen in over 150 to 160 years, we started first and foremost by cleaning up the roads with private TLBs, private payloaders, private bobcats that were donated by local businessmen, and we continue with that work. At the same time, we were dealing with electrical outages, water shortages, food hampers, and people who basically were destitute, and we were busy working with that whilst the bridge was actually far from our mind. I then got a call from Kader Ghulam, the chairman of the Abadia Mosque in Shellcross, together with a gentleman named Vernon Kiston, who approached me and said, can we meet at the bridge? We have an idea of what to do and how to go about doing it. So Kader Ghulam came with basically a crude, if one want of a better expression, or simple sketch of what needed to be done. Thereafter, we called in a few other guys from our area, also community activists for many, many years from Shellcross. We put together a plan, and we said, guys, this is what's going to happen. But in order to formalize it, we brought in our own private consulting bridge and geotechnical engineers who agreed with what our plan was. It was going to work. But then they added their professionalism advice and the manner in which was the best way to sort out the bridge. At the same time, not to seem as if we were a maverick bunch of guys doing our own thing, I reached out to our Ward 63 councillor of the DA Ward councillor, Chris Vandenberg, who's also a very good friend of mine. And we asked him to approach the city itself with our proposal, our plan. We then had a formal meeting on site with the councillor and members of the our community, including Ward 71 councillor Fatima Ismail. We had a discussion with a member from the engineers department, Mr. Peter Fenton. And we were told that they, from their side, could give us probably 5 to 10% support in terms of milling or material that was located nearby that would bring it and leave it on site. And so began the work of getting the bridge cleaned. In other words, all the debris, all the logs, the trees, the rocks that are actually submerged under the culvert of the bridge cleaned out. So the actual work started, took us 12 days, but the actual approaches to the bridge being filled in, excavated, wrapped, mulled, rolled, took us literally 4 working days.
And that's what's so amazing about this. If you were to speculate, Mr. Richards, and say that if this was left to the municipality, we could potentially be seeing this kind of stalemate, difficulty to access the area, enter and exit the area potentially for months?
Absolutely correct. When you go to your local supermarkets and you see the shelves empty and bare and realize the storm had devastated some of the warehouses, also the access points in and out of Shawcross was becoming vulnerable because most people are using the Burlington Road, the Hunts-Detman Highway, which is now the bridge. That bridge is now still totally unrepaired, and parts of the M1 leading out of Shawcross Chatswood into Pinetown. At strategic time, protesters would block the roads in the morning, burn tyres. So Shawcross was basically gridlocked in and isolated from the rest of the communities. Hence the reason why we had to get this sorted out. But just to give you a little bit of an idea of how the system works, our premier was in Shawcross visiting flats that had been renovated with a ward councillor who lost the elections to Fatima Ismail. And the notes such time were, they even come down to the bridge to see what was going on. Because the word out there was that we were acting in an unofficial capacity, which was entirely, entirely untrue.
Now, in terms of the costs, obviously the type of figures that have been mentioned, there's 50,000 on the one hand, and there's 12 million rand worth of construction equipment. For ordinary citizens to have come up with this, pull this together, is no easy feat. How did you manage with that aspect of the project?
We had a financial backer from the outside who wishes to remain anonymous. And then the team that we pulled in together, guys that knew someone who had a transport company, guys knew somebody who had a roller, guys knew somebody who we could get an excavator from and bring it to site. And that's how it all started. And then we two of our gentlemen, the part Surian Governor and Imtiaz Mohammed, own trucking companies, been in civils before. They came through with their tip trucks, and we were donated all the rest of the machinery by local businessmen who also wished to remain anonymous. So the 12 million rand of machinery was excavators, pay laborers, tip trucks, rollers, and other machinery on site.
And talk to us a bit about the community camaraderie aspect of this. While you mentioned the 12 days in total, and perhaps the 4 days of the essential work that took place, while this was going on, what was the time spent there by the members of the core team, the networking that took place, the community building, the friendships, etc., during this period?
I think sometimes they say some things happen for a reason, and I believe that this happened for a reason for us to realize that in order for us to survive and to continue as a community, we had to come together. I mean the actual camaraderie. Most of us knew each other from we schooled together, primary school, high school. Over the years, we kind of like passed each other, how are you, that sort of aspect. But the actual buy-in by the community of Shawcross and well wishes from beyond the whole of South Africa, even far as Belgium and London, whilst we were doing this, was literally going live each day. I mean, people came through, gave us cash, people came through, brought us cool drinks, breakfast, lunch, supper. People were standing there just giving us moral support, not necessarily involved in the actual work itself. People bringing in torches, lights, just phenomenal community spirit. And I think the guys that are on the ground as well, we ended up being such good friends. But the spirit on the day, like I said, it wasn't a bed of roses, I must admit. We did have logistical and work differences on site. But we all realized that the passion came from the fact that we're working for a community and our community, and that our own personal feelings were set aside in order to get the work done.
You are quoted as saying here, I'm seeing a piece that was put together by Times Live, saying that I wish I could explain how we felt when the first car crossed the bridge. I'd imagine it would be difficult to put some of these emotions to words, but give us a feeling of when this all came together, and it was a credible project, it was something sturdy, it was something durable, and you could breathe that sigh of relief, and you could pat yourselves on the back on a community project well done.
I think just to, when I put that post out on my Facebook page and subsequently shared with all our necessary groups in and around the area, within literally 5 minutes, there were cars coming from both sides of the bridge from the Queensbury area and from the Shawcross area, and people just driving up and down, I mean, just hooting at us, thanking us. It was as if that we had won the FA Cup and were being congratulated. And it was extremely emotional for most of us. But at that point in time, I didn't think we ourselves realized what we had done and what we had achieved. It was sort of, you know, it's something that we did, and yes, people are benefiting. They can go to work tomorrow. They can travel safe. They don't have to leave home 2 hours in advance to get to work. They can now leave home at the normal time. And I think much, much later, it did sink in that it was a phenomenal project for us to take over, and we had to do something great together as a community.
I am seeing some reports thereafter talking about the Tekweni municipality applauding Shawcross residents. This is at least what we're seeing in the media, saying that they were aware of the initiative and they commend residents for taking this. Any response from your side to that? The aftermath, have they come to see this? Has their response, in your opinion, been satisfactory?
Look, nothing official from Etukini itself in terms of recognizing us or lauding the effort that we put in. However, I think it would be remiss if I don't mention the following gentleman's name from Etukini itself. So that's Mr. Thomas Govender and Peter Fenton. Absolute gentlemen to work with. They were on site each day, 3-4 times a day, doing oversight. And then our local roads department in Shawcross area, Mr. Satish Chunilal, as well doing oversight. But as far as anything official from the mayor's office or deputy mayor or the premier himself, nothing whatsoever.
I want to ask you, two final questions here, perhaps digging a bit deeper from the immediacy of putting this bridge together. And that is, firstly, as other communities, the lessons you would perhaps say, and there's many similar communities in KwaZulu-Natal, just to start off with, to isolate that even before we come to other parts of the country who might be having challenges sometimes for months, for years, etc. In the aftermath of these floods, there's many frustrations in KwaZulu-Natal at the moment. What do you think this particular experience, lessons that you could share in general with other communities?
Look, I've been called by members from the La Mercy Residents Association regarding their bridge. I've been called by the Yellowwood Park Association regarding their bridge. Members from the Hunts Detmond area regarding their bridge asking us for advice and the way forward. And I've advised them what to do. But at the same time, I think that the time for complacency, the time for self-isolation or working in silos among communities is now over. People have to learn to be apolitical and come together as an interreligious group, interreligious faith, and start to do things for themselves. Waiting for the government or waiting for any city official to come out there and give you a handout or even acknowledge the fact that we exist in the sense of as a community, tax-paying community, those days are over. It is now time for cities and communities to look after themselves and to take ownership of the fact that they pay taxes, they pay lights, water, and rates, and hold government accountable now. And the most powerful thing they can ever do is to use their vote when the time comes to vote. The fact that I don't want to vote because they do nothing, and it's apathy, and that apathy can reach into create a vacuum, and when there's a vacuum, you know what happens in the vacuum. Unnecessary power people come in, and they can take over, and nothing's going to happen. We have to take care of ourselves, by ourselves, for ourselves.
And the last thing I want to ask you, and it fits neatly into what I'm going to explore a bit deeper with my next guest, who's on standby from the Institute of Race Relations. This is as you've mentioned, looking after our own communities, and this is exactly what has been epitomized by this amazing initiative in the Pompeian River Bridge Project. But at the same time, people would say, to what extent would such initiatives feed into a greater sense of complacency by the municipality, and kind of if a service delivery is lackluster to start off with, when residents take the initiative themselves and also pull together private funds for such projects, will the municipality not then become even more lackluster and potentially wash their hands completely of such communities?
It's a good question, and I think it's also like a double-edged sword. It goes damned if you do, and then damned if you don't. But at the end of the day, once people start taking ownership of what they need to do, the danger is that municipality can then become almost null and void. If you take into account the principle of the urban improvement precincts, where people take care of their own funding, their own lights, their own water, and they start controlling the funding, municipality doesn't hold any money in their coffers, that should and must galvanize them to realizing that the days of complacency, nepotism, and cater deployment are now over. And they cannot hold people hostage by the mere fact that they cannot perform and they're too inept and incapable of performing a core function of service delivery. The idea that they sit up there with their blue light brigades and their fancy suits and their fancy attitudes, they are nothing but civil servants first and foremost. And that's what you've got to drum into their heads. They are civil servants. They serve the people at our behest, not theirs.
Indeed, I appreciate those great insights, candid thoughts as well, but far from wanting to let that overshadow the broader conversation, I just want to, again, from our side, on behalf of so many South Africans, congratulate you for this amazing feat, and may that bridge be, in a way, a monument for a great community coming together and shine as a light for many other communities all across South Africa in terms of positive activism and community spirit. I thank you so much for joining us this evening, Marcus.
Okay, thank you kindly, and all the best to you and your team. Thank you kindly.